brings Mr. Baggins and Fallon and Dwallon in June in the valley. Ha-ha. Oh, will you be staying or will you be flying? Your ponies
are... Always mode!
Oh, Jesus. Seepage.
L.A. Seepage.
What the heck?
Good?
Cradled?
All right. Hello again. Welcome to the All Range Mode podcast. This is our Hobbit review. sorry, my name is Joe. How's it going? Got
I'm
Chad.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Got Chad here.
Hello.
Yeah.
Got,
also have Doug.
Hey.
So welcome to the show. So yeah, we're just gonna get into our thoughts on The Hobbit. We've been looking forward to this for quite some time. Yeah, it's been a long while. You guys remember, like, when they first announced this movie, all the turmoil I went through? Like, Guillermo del Toro was supposed to direct it for a long time.
Yeah. What did he end up doing in the end on it?
Pacific Rim?
I think. Well, no.
He was involved in the movie in some way.
I think it's just executive producer because
I think he has nothing to do with this movie.
Well, I'm sure his name's on it somewhere. No, his name is on as executive producer. I'm sure that it's just because they had him contractually obligated to be part of it and stuff like that. Like, he probably collected some money, but I don't think creatively he had anything to do with it. Everything that was done with him, I think, got scrapped. I mean, I don't know, but. They hired him. The production got delayed so much that he dropped out. But they still give him executive producer credit because he did have a hand in the production, whether it was whether it got put in the final cut or not. So that's what he had to do with it. But I think for a long time before that, it was a different director too. It got announced. Maybe they hadn't picked a director yet, but they got pushed back because MGM went through all that turmoil, maybe 5 years ago or something like that. So, yeah, finally, it's here. I'm really happy Peter Jackson was involved. I think...
Yeah, I didn't want Guillermo to be in there at all.
Provided a sense of, I don't know, made it familiar.
Yeah, well, before we get into our thoughts on the movie, leading up to the movie was pretty ordinary for me. Did you guys, wait in line or anything like that?
Well, no.
We didn't really have to.
We talked about it already. Yeah, bought the tickets for assigned seating, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we still got there like an hour before. Actually, you were there before I was. So yeah,
eating fries.
Yeah.
Taking a look at the crowd, which wasn't there.
You had a story about a guy at the...
Oh, you know what one thing was kind of annoying? When the Star Trek Into Darkness preview started, people were still coming in. And I was really annoyed. It was just like, fuck! Like, I know it's assigned seating, but like... You should be in your seat. Like, nothing takes you out of the 3D more than a fucking person walking in front of your
face. See, that's exactly why the assigned seating is a bad idea.
Yeah.
You go there.
Nothing takes you out of it more than the terrible foreground 3D.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about that when we seen it, but, like, when they were in the hospital on that Star Trek intro, it was, like, something hanging in front of...
It was the...
Of, like, what they were focused on. It was just, like, half the screen was just...
Oh, really?
It was so poor. I'll give $100 to the person who can define what that object was. It was beyond recognition.
Well, to be honest, there was people walking in front of me, and I missed that part of of that thing.
So same thing happened to you. Right? People were just coming in.
Well, yeah, I forgot too that we were going to see that intro to Star Trek.
I had no idea.
That was a treat when I realized what I was watching. It was nice and. 3D, I feel like it's getting a little bit better.
Definitely.
I mean, if at this point, if I can get through a 3D movie and I'm not annoyed or I'm not noticing the 3D, that's a success to me.
Yeah.
You notice it when it's worth it, like in the Star Trek thing when they jumped off that cliff.
Oh, God,
that was really cool.
Kind of sinking feeling.
Stomach dropped.
And even with, you know, you see it overdone all the time with shit being thrown at the camera in 3D.
Yeah, there was that arrow.
That arrow was like, ha!
Yeah.
I jumped back. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was done really well, but I don't like the use of, like, tribal... you know, any movie with tribal people...
Chad and I were laughing right away, like, you so kind of my kitty or something.
Yeah.
And he just, like, pulls the reveal, like, we gotta get out of here. Yeah. That's the bad thing about Star Trek.
It seems like those things that... Can nobody figure out anything else to do? I mean, Indiana Jones is the same thing. Like, a lot of these movies, you'll see tribal people, and it's just like... I wonder if it's completely racist. Like, or not... Like, are we... this is what we think they're like. I don't know about it! Like, they just are screaming after us, and... I don't know. I guess it's a different planet, so, I mean, you can pretty much write however you want the natives to be like, but...
Yeah. Early in their evolution, so
yeah, it was a bit of a tricky scene. I mean, they tried to leave that fear of Spock, you know, being left in the volcano. But I'm not really afraid for him
either.
You haven't seen the movie yet, like you haven't seen what built up to that. Like, why is he going down there?
That's the beginning. That's the opening sequence of the movie.
That's the opening sequence.
That's how it starts.
I watched this. I think I told you guys, but that show American Horror Story or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm really into. And the actor who plays Spock.
Zachary Quinto.
Yeah, he's in that show.
Oh, really?
And in the show, he's just like a villain who murders and rapes women and wears their skin. Jeez. So I can't buy him as Spock anymore.
I've
seen that show. It ruins his whole Spock character.
Isn't he the bad guy in Heroes? As well?
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah. I really like seeing all those characters again. If that's the opening 9 minutes, which I'm pretty sure it is, that's what I've heard, then awesome. Like, I love that we can dive into the story. We don't gotta, there's no more, you know, origin stories, that
no
kind
more
of thing.
BC Boys car chases.
I feel like that can't be the opening sequence. Cause
it
like,
is.
Why the hell is Spock down there? Like,
well, they just
pick Spock up and go, that was
they just drop you into a scene.
2 days earlier or something like that.
That's an option. Or they pick Spock up and go like, that was close. Glad we needed to do that for the planet, and we've successfully. Now let's get back to home base. And they get there, and it's like, there's another evil.
Well,
that's how it's gonna go.
They're just dropping you into whatever you know the Enterprise and Starfleet was up to at that moment. I mean, they're not just.
This is what the characters have been doing.
It felt like a trailer because the first like
well, it ended with a trailer.
Where it showed those.
It showed Khan in the beginning.
Yeah, I can save your daughter. That's really cool.
It's the same thing they do with Batman movies. They show you the first like couple minutes. I mean, if you saw that the prelude to The Dark Knight, you'd think that you were in the middle of the movie. You know, it's Joker's. You know, after I think you had no idea that's at the beginning. But I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Makes sense.
Cool. You know, I have no reason to believe it's not. I mean,
that sold me on 3D. The cliff jump.
Yeah.
I loved it, and then obviously.
But now they're changing it again with the 48 frames. I mean, we don't know what that's like, but we'll have to get used to that.
Even though we paid for it, sons of bitches.
Yeah, mine wasn't 48 frames.
You get scammed.
Ours was advertised as 48 frames, but it was not.
The IMAX 3D is supposed to be 48 frames.
We didn't catch it until we like had finished seeing the movie. Like while I was watching the movie, I thought it was in 48 frames, just because I thought it looked really clear. Like it looked very sharp.
Yeah,
that's just IMAX.
No,
I'm really happy it wasn't in 48 frames.
Me too.
I'm hearing like the difference in like the technical part of it. It splits the saga in like two, where you've got. You know, the Lord of the Rings movies that look one way, one very specific stylized way, and now you're implementing a new piece of technology. Like, the fact that they're 3D even is a bit of a detriment, because that separates them from the other movies, but we'll get into that later. I'm excited for Star Trek. I like, you know, sci-fi is my thing, so I'm super pumped for that. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
I'm
really excited for that.
So, you know, the new movie started with, like, the bookend, or the book... beginning, I guess you'd call it, like
I don't even think we should spoil this. Actually,
sure.
A lot of people haven't seen it.
Well, then this is a spoiler. This is a spoiler cast. If you haven't seen it, turn it off.
Oh, yeah, we're about to go into a lot.
Oh yeah, I'm going. I'm gonna spoil it. So the the movie's bookended, or I guess the saga is bookended with Frodo and Bilbo in Hobbiton, like on the same day as you start the Lord of the Rings trilogy,
yeah,
the which I thought was awesome.
Me too. I can't believe
loved it.
Some reviews I read, people didn't like the appearance of Elijah Wood in the movie, but that scene was so great.
I love that it starts on the same day. I mean, theoretically now we can watch...
So I'm going to go surprise him. Just,
And we can watch all... we can watch The Hobbit now, all three movies, and end on the same day that, that Lord of the Rings starts.
It's an amazing idea.
And like, Elijah Wood was so cool.
He was just like, he came in smiling, he looked good.
You know what,
I was happy to see
him. He did look older.
Well, definitely.
Like, he had longer hair.
And he's a lot thinner, too. So there's a bit of a continuity gap there, but who cares like about that kind of stuff?
It only stood out because we know it.
Am I wrong, though? Was he not wearing different clothes? No. Maybe he looked cleaner or something? I don't know.
He was very
clean
shaven.
It was high frame rate, man. It was an HD.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't high frame rate.
Well, it was filmed in high frame rate, and I mean, like, Fellowship was filmed in 1999 on, like, the first digital cameras, so...
But is his outfit different? I'm guessing that it wasn't, because, I mean, there wouldn't be that kind of hair. But his hair was different. I mean...
His hair was a little longer, it looked like.
Either way, I'm not gonna...
I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it, too. I wasn't like, oh, hair! We got a wardrobe problem here.
It was great, like, you had the whole... Gandalf thing, and it was just like when Gandalf first introduces himself in the Fellowship with the "A Wizard Is Never Late."
Yeah,
when he does the good morning thing,
just
that
like
was
the book.
Awesome.
It was exactly. Like
I mean,
the book too, there.
I'll jump ahead a little bit here, but the whole movie overall, I feel like, was the perfect kind of Fellowship Hobbit to the start of this trilogy.
I don't understand.
Well, just like how I felt about the Fellowship to Lord of the Rings, I felt like Hobbit played out very similar. And was just exactly what I wanted it to be in a Fellowship. That's like my short form review of it.
Nice.
Yeah,
but I wasn't disappointed.
One like overall thing. I mean, we can kind of break down.
Let's just keep going. Let's go see.
Yeah, we can.
Can I talk about the when Frodo runs out? He's like, I'm gonna go surprise Gandalf.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, I was like, he's going tree reading. He had the book in his hand.
Yeah, the. The opening dialogue, too, the good morning thing was great.
Mm, that's a direct line from the book, too, which is awesome.
So, yeah, overall, maybe I should say that for the end. We'll try and go chronologically here.
Yeah, and I mean, the intro scene, too, just got me right back into it with how Bilbo's... it starts with Bilbo kind of telling the story of what's going on with the dwarves and why things are the way they are.
And that's just how...
But
like,
then when it pans back to him and does 60 years earlier with the smoke ring, was so great. And then the way, too, they brought up the classic, like, Lord of the Rings font with the an unexpected journey. That was so good, man.
Yeah, like, they...
Like, fan service, awesome.
They did a great job of keeping continuity kind of between the... between the two trilogies, I would say. Like, critics... talked about how like there was a big jump aesthetically, you know, like it didn't present itself the same way as Lord of the Rings trilogy, but I think it did the best it could have because they am I wrong? They had to rebuild all the sets.
They rebuilt Hobbiton completely. Like before, they built it with just like plywood, like nothing actually was functional. It was just kind of there just for aesthetics.
Yeah,
but they rebuilt it with like forever equipment.
So it's just a museum now. You texted me that last
with
night.
Forever,
you can just visit it now.
Yeah, like it's there forever. Like they built it with brick bag, and you can actually walk under the hill and go inside.
Oh, that's so awesome!
Amazing.
I'm not really sure if we're gonna be able to go through it chronologically as far as like what was going on in the movie. So I've got some notes. We can all jump in and discuss. I felt, you know, it was. The Hobbit was much sillier. You know, it wasn't as serious as the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
But
it's a kid's book.
Yeah, well, I turned that into... It's much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I think that is...
I was laughing my ass off multiple times.
Yeah. It's... I think it's a step in the right direction for the franchise. I know, like, Lord of the Rings is so dark. And, you know, Frodo's arc is a lot just... more dramatic, where Bilbo's is more comedic. You know what I mean? Like, I thought Bilbo was a much better main character than Frodo.
Absolutely,
definitely.
He's got he's smarter. Like he's more well equipped. Yeah, Martin Freeman did a really good job.
He was great.
Every time he was on the scene, just
Lord of the Rings had the whole like apocalyptic thing about it too, right? And this I kind of like that it doesn't have that. Honestly, like it's a good like, oh yes, this is just like he's getting into this adventure. It was really funny, like. the part where they were all eating and it was just showing flashes of them, and it zooms in on one shot of Gandalf just with a cookie in his mouth, like, oh. I was dying laughing. Yeah. He's just got a cookie hanging. Like,
yeah, it was definitely more more fun, like more soft, lighthearted, I guess, yeah, you could say.
Yeah.
You talked about the meal though. What'd you think of the song, that first song where they're doing the dishes?
Oh, like,
that's in the book.
I know. It's in the book.
I loved it.
They wouldn't have been able to take that out, but I thought it was a little silly. Like, that was a little bit far in the other direction.
But, like, it was... Tolkien wrote it for his kids.
I'm saying it's fine. Like,
yeah.
It's just...
another...
It took me out of it a little bit.
That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. I love that.
They're all kind of throwing plates
around. I like the song that we're singing at night, like the trailer song.
That was awesome.
That was sweet. Another silly thing I didn't really like about it was the... what the hell's Gandalf's cousin's name? The wizard.
Radagast.
The shit on his face.
Oh, I wanted that fucking off the entire time.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah. That's like supplemental stuff, right? Like, that's the stuff in the Silmarillion?
Ish. It's like... In The Hobbit, the only thing that's mentioned about the Necromancer, Radagast, anything in The Hobbit is just a quick, I have a cousin named Radagast who's also a wizard, and Gandalf leaves for a bit of the book, and there's a sentence about, I had to banish a Necromancer. That's
what I'm talking about. Like, throughout the movie, they take you right out of the main story.
And do
supplemental stuff like that. That was it was okay. Like, I was watching this movie more as almost like a TV show where I'm just getting more and more character depth. Mm-hmm. Like, I can watch the Star Wars trilogy, right? And you get 6 hours with those characters. And it's like, that's fine, and it's the most exciting part of the story. But then you get Clone Wars, and I get hours and hours and hours of supplemental material where I can learn more about the characters, and like, I just want as much as possible because I like well-rounded characters. Like, in a TV show, you're able to get these, 20-hour story arcs, like, in a couple of seasons. You don't get those in movies. So, like, I think it was great that we are able to get that with The Hobbit. You know, the fact that they did make them longer, it was a detriment to each individual movie, I think. Or, I mean, I don't know yet, but I liked what they did with The Hobbit. I liked that it didn't follow the regular, movie, like, timeline, like you'd get in any other major motion picture where there's always a lull kind of in the middle. Like, it just was ongoing, and it was long, but I felt like the pacing was pretty good. Like, from scene to scene, it was just more and more exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Which
I thought... It's the first movie since, like, Return of the King that I can't wait to go see again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it was fucking magical. Like, watching that on the screen, like, I can't believe I'm here again.
Yeah, like, what'd you guys think of the dwarves? Because, I mean, that's the biggest difference.
I think they look great.
I thought they were really cool, too.
They
I thought
great.
Thorin Balling was a was little awesome. Too much of a badass, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, like...
I loved him.
I liked
he hated
them.
Bilbo too much until the end. Which, I get that they had to, like, they had to put that scene in there where, like, now Bilbo is welcomed. And I'm glad that was done, and it's the second two movies are going to be better because they showed that. Mm. I just thought he laid it on a little too thick.
Well, I guess so.
He was still awesome.
Like, I thought he was fine. Like, he's been
second
through a
coolest
lot.
Character in the movie.
If we didn't have a character like him in the movie, then... Everybody would have been so cheerful throughout this whole mess.
You're right.
It's nice to get grounded every once and again and try and remind the viewer that there is maybe a bit of danger.
I guess more so I'm talking about, like, his attitude towards Bilbo in the movie.
Well, I think he
was kind of
turned over,
but
he was kind of turned over, but he didn't let that on until the end of the movie. The more fun approach, though, I wasn't afraid for any of the characters, which... I don't know.
At any part during the whole movie?
No, I wasn't. I mean, anybody who's read the book would know better, but I haven't, right? So it's like I was able to take it all in, for the first time. And no, I had no fear for those characters, which is fine,
Honestly, like, I have read the book and, obviously, they're definitely two separate things. The movie is one thing and the book is another thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But there is, like...
I agree in every case.
Many, many, many... parts in that movie that are completely not in the book at all. Yeah,
that whole
orc, they're in like Silmarillion.
That main character. That is not anything.
Thorin's bad guy.
Yeah, that is not mentioned in the books at all.
I wonder if that could
they
be
just
mentioned in
goblins Silmarillion. Come after them.
Yeah, like
I don't know. I can't say for the Silmarillion.
He's called the Pale Orc.
Yeah, he's not in the Hobbit.
If we can jump into like on that note, there was a bit.
It's cool though. It's cool that he has that like. That bad guy. They have to have a bad guy, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
And another thing to the book, I have to say that was done really well was, as far as their ultimate quest of getting, you know, to their homeland and fighting the dragon, it did end at about a third of the way there from their story.
Cool.
So that's really cool. Like, in the second movie, I can tell there's going to be another main thing with the hobbits, and then the third movie will have its own whole thing, and, like, I think the pacing is going to be awesome. I'm really excited.
The ending, the whole ending scene where they're in the trees are falling, the way it's framed with the fire, like Thorin's looking at the pale orc.
Yeah, he had he had a hero moment where like he was walking in slow motion.
That was like
that was pretty cool.
That part had me going the most.
But and then they jumped off like
he got owned.
Onto the eagles. That whole and, like, part was like the most beautifully directed like sequence I've ever seen. I loved it.
And like I knew those eagles were coming, but
fight
I didn't know was coming.
Yeah,
and
so
like Bilbo proving himself.
Gandalf grabs the
pine cone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like I wasn't afraid for any of those characters. I mean, they showed them dangling, but anybody who's not familiar with the story or familiar with the Lord of the Rings trilogy wouldn't know what that meant with the moth.
Mm-hmm.
But they spent like a couple of minutes of those guys dangling, and it's like, I know those birds are coming. But
as soon as you saw the moth,
but most people wouldn't know that, I guess. So maybe they'd have a little bit of fear. So we kind of went through all this stuff, but I did want to, when you brought up the pale orc, I wanted to talk about, there was a bit of a critical backlash because Lord of the Rings was so rich with practical effects, like the orcs were all real. You know, as much as they could get away with putting guys in makeup and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
it seemed like Hobbit went in the other direction. I didn't think it was as bad as they let on.
No, not at all.
I didn't at all either.
Well, with a few exceptions.
The Goblin King looked awesome.
Oh, I disagree.
Skarl?
I think the Goblin King was really bogus. Like that.
No way.
That part took. Yeah, like his.
Because you expected him to sound like Skarl.
No. I had
which Duggan I did too, and then he was just a fucking Englishman.
I had no expectations. For that, like, that's not why I'm saying that. I think
as soon as Chad and I got in the theater, I was like, dude, when the Goblin King shows up on film, I want to say there's about a 20% chance he might actually say Skarl.
I didn't expect to be like that.
I was like, 20%, I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah,
I would say the Goblin King is the low point of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't take him seriously at all.
What about that part though? Did you like that part?
It was even worse. I mean, don't I remember him singing a song as well?
What part?
The Goblin King? I'm pretty sure he sang a song.
They had like a chant. He's talking about I'm talking about the whole...
Oh, like the whole Goblin King thing?
Well, I mean, that...
When Gandalf came back, take up arms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fire, you fools!
Awesome. I guess, I'm fine. But I'm saying if I can pick one point of that movie to be the low point, it was that. It was that, definitely. And so the other thing with the CG was, I don't think it was necessary that they make a full CG character for the pale orc. I liked the character much less because it was all CG. I couldn't buy into it when I was watching it.
I still think, I was trying to look at faults in it, like, trying to pick it apart, like, why did they go CG? But it looked great.
Like, full CG characters in Star Wars, too, it's like, okay, well, it's not fucking Gollum. Gollum is perfect. Like
Gollum is perfect.
Like, I don't understand why
that scene was incredible.
Yeah, I want to get into that. that's going to get a bit of attention, but I don't know. I mean, and the thing with the pale orc is he looked he looked like a human being. Like just a big bulky human being. I mean, they do all this work to make the hobbits and the goblins look smaller. Why couldn't they just hire an actor and he could like bring a little bit of humanity to that character? I mean, I completely wrote off the pale orc because he was full CG. I mean,
well, there's still a guy acting within it. Even the troll scene, there were guys all acting with that too.
If it was a different movie, I don't know. Like you'd probably agree with me. If it was a different movie,
no,
you're defending it.
No, I'm not defending it.
Okay. Yeah, I thought
it's a very, very good movie.
No, I agree. I completely agree. And I'm talking like, I'm just bringing up things. I don't think that we needed a CG pale orc. If I can, moving forward, I'll put my cards on the table. I really, really enjoyed it. Almost more, like, enough to say it was my favorite of the saga. Like, wow. So, yeah.
I didn't expect you to say that.
No, I really, really liked it. But
Dan said he hated it.
I know, and I wish Dan was here to state his case. So moving on, I thought we talked about... So the counter, like what was going on in Bilbo's story during this whole Goblin King charade was the Gollum scene.
Yeah.
Which was done so well. I thought it was handled so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And like they didn't put a lot of emphasis on the ring, which I'm so happy with. Like you saw it pop out, he grabs it, but it wasn't like a... I'm like zooming in and like and
everyone, Sauron's eye
like it just if you hadn't seen the Lord of the Rings movies you would go out of it saying like what the hell's the deal with that ring, but like they played it as if it was like a like the standalone scene where this creature was just holding like it's something fell out of its pocket, Bilbo picked it up.
There was also a really nice progression of like, what is this thing? Like, okay, it's evil because it's eating that goblin or whatever. And then it's like,
what is
okay, it's kind of half evil. Like, and then at the end, he just like remembers what Gandalf said to him and like feels bad for it and leaves.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, it was really cool the way he just fell down and like, you're expecting it to just be like, I mean, if you've never seen Lord of the Rings, like, okay, this is another goblin. What is this monster? And then it kind of slowly like, I don't hate him like the Goblin King. I kind of want to hear him out.
Also, the little miniature goblin that Chad was on the line.
Just like, send word out!
and he like went flying down that... What the fuck is on the other end of that rope? He's just like...
Didn't it fly down that rope and the camera kind of panned around and then it changed scene?
I don't know. I don't know. That was...
Did you hear the classic Hollywood...
The Wilhelm. they did the Wilhelm scream, too, in that movie. Yeah. One of the goblins got hit off of a bridge, and they did the Wilhelm scream.
I also have to say the first scene too, when they're leaving the Shire and they're all on those ponies, that was great.
Yeah,
just those little ponies marching out. I love those Shetland ponies.
So
beautiful.
With the Gollum scene.
Sorry, Chad goes in that movie. We're watching it right as they're on the horses. And he's like, any fucking prop they can replicate, I'm gonna buy. Name the price. Gandalf horse clip. And Gandalf's just like clipping onto his
arm. Nice. I'm buying him.
Going on with the Gollum scene, like, what a performance, by Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Like, you've got your, the split personality. That was so awesome when he kept telling himself to shut up.
They did that even better than they did in Return of the King.
Yeah. I thought. Yeah. They just like he said one line, and then right away he's like, "Shut up!" And then he comes, and then he goes like scurrying. He ran around like a cat, more like in his little, you know, in his cave. That was so good. I loved the scenes with Gollum and like the whole wits battle. Like, there's a lot of stuff in The Hobbit where it's just dialogue. Like, they almost Bilbo fights with his linguistic skills. Right? He just like he talks his way out of a lot of stuff. That was all handled really well, also too.
Yeah.
We skipped the.
And they're all like, "You don't want to eat them like that."
Yeah, we skipped that whole part. How did you guys feel about
the trolls?
I thought it was cool. It was the first bit of action in the movie too, right? Where the dwarves just kind of come in all together and fight the trolls. Yeah. So I'm glad you got to see that at least. It's like, it let me know like the action is going to be just as good as Lord of the Rings for the rest of this movie.
Yeah. Well, for me, that was a. Like, if you compare the troll scene in The Hobbit versus the troll scene in Fellowship, like, you get two separate directions that these movies are going in. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Like,
I'm glad...
The cave troll?
Yeah, the cave troll. I'm glad that we've got both, you know what I mean? Like, if we had one without the other... Well, we did have one without the other for a long time, and it was the darker, more gloomy story. Whereas The Hobbit, we just got to relax, you know, and kind of enjoy ourselves in this world, which... I thought it was awesome. So we can go back to Gollum if you guys have anything else.
That scene with the trolls.
Yeah.
At first, when they showed them, they were showing them from afar. Like, you could see all three of their like bodies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no! Like, full CG. This is the first like full CG moment. But they zoomed in on their faces, and the detail on their faces was just It looked real. Like it's photo real. Like it looks incredible now.
I don't think we're quite there yet. It looked great. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to find better.
It's
leading Hollywood definitely in the CG race right now.
The CG race. Yeah, I mean, it was done to the best of some of the best effects, like effects house, or one of the best effects houses in film, right? Like Weta.
Can I say a statistic about it?
Sure, go ahead. You don't have to ask.
Well, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, their entire budget was $300 million.
Yeah.
The budget for Unexpected Journey in CG alone was $265.
Wow.
The two last beers.
Thanks. Hey-o! So I guess moving forward, like I did touch on the jumping out of the main story quite a bit, but at the same time, I put out my stance on how I just accepted it. I was like, oh, we're going on off another side quest kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like it didn't follow a typical Hollywood, timeline in the movie. It just kind of progressed and everything happened all at once, I guess you could say.
I felt like that as soon as the Radagast introduction scene, because Gandalf was just like, oh, this Radagast. Like, he just mentions his name.
Yeah.
And then it just goes into this whole scene of who he is / a new evil that you don't even know about.
I still don't know how I feel
about that scene. I liked it, but I don't know. It was different.
It was right after the backstory of Thorin.
Mm-hmm.
They did Thorin's backstory, and then they camping when they told Thorin's backstory?
Then they were walking.
They got up and started walking, and they jumped right out of the main story.
Didn't a dwarf ask Gandalf if there were more wizards or something like that? That's how he got into it?
Yeah, that's right. But that scene, it felt a lot different. The CG animals running around, you really need to buy into that scene. Like, you've got to kind of give it your attention.
Mm-hmm.
It hits you over the head. It's like, what the hell, where are we now, And he's trying to save,
When I first saw those rabbits, I kind of didn't like it, and then when the wargs came, and he was just like, these are whatever rabbits, and it showed him. The other thing, too, another, book difference. In the book, right after the eagles part, they meet a character who is, an animal lover and can turn into a bear. And I'm wondering if they're just going to omit that character and kind of mix it with that guy.
Who was the character?
His name starts with a B.
Bombadil? Tom Bombadil?
Not Tom Bombadil. He's just this big man who lives right outside Mirkwood Forest. And he can turn into a bear. And he has animals as servants. And he loves animals and everything. Like, I would love to see a character who can turn into a bear enter this trilogy.
That's another thing is that, you really have to... There's more to buy into in The Hobbit than there is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's more, like I said, fun. With, things that you wouldn't expect to see. Now that we've been introduced to Middle Earth, and we know all about it and how it works and, what species there are and stuff like that. Now, all of a sudden, there's new things that kind of don't follow the same rules, like shape-shifting and shit like that.
I got a thing to say about that. The one scene where those giant rock monsters were fighting. Yeah. I completely forgot about that and then thought about it the other day, hey, what the hell?
Yeah, that was... It was... cool visually, but it didn't progress the story at all. I loved watching it.
Though. Where the hell did this happen in the book? Did that happen in the book?
In the book, it does happen. Yeah, they're not on one in the book, but they're going through the mountains to go through, and those things are just fighting so much that they have to seek solace. So they find a cave, and they all go to sleep, and then the goblins come through a door and take them.
They don't actually drop out the cave like they
do. Gandalf is with them in the cave too, and. What happens in the book is Bilbo wakes up, sees them, and screams, and Gandalf, flashes lightning and disappears, and all the dwarves get taken but Gandalf.
That's how he comes back. My guess is there was somebody working on the Lord of the Rings trilogy, some special effects guy, who had to, paint out, the wrong foot or something like that, out of the scene, and he just worked for 5 years doing only that. He's like, listen, motherfucker, I want this scene. I want the thunder battle or whatever, and they're just like, fine. We'll give you a couple flyby shots of them standing next to a mountain, and that's it. You do the rest. And he's just, yeah! literally mountains fighting each other. Like, that, it's...
It was really cool, but it's nothing that you would see in Lord of the Rings. Or nothing that you did see in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, like, why weren't those guys fighting against Mordor? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there is those things where you have to suspend your disbelief. I mean, there's the big argument, like, why didn't Frodo and company just ride those eagles to Mordor and drop it in? But anybody who says that is like, okay, what do you want from me?
In the Hobbit book, they explain that, which is another thing. In the book, the eagles talk, which I'm so glad they didn't talk in the movie. I was waiting for the one thing to just open its fucking mouth, like, hello, Gandalf. Yeah, exactly. And I'm so glad it didn't talk. So basically, Gandalf, also in The Hobbit, Gandalf doesn't summon one. They kind of see what's happening, and they hate the wargs, so they pick them up, and they're like, oh, we saw you hurting them, whatever, like...
Okay, and I love the fan service even more because of that, then.
They say to the eagles, take us to the mountain. And the eagles go, we'll take you this far. We don't involve ourselves with anything. Like, we're a peaceful people. Oh, we like the forest. We like the mountains. We'll do this for you because we're grateful to you attacking the wargs, but we will not take you to the dragon. Like, we're not going anywhere near that.
That's kind
of
cool.
So take that to the Lord of the Rings thing. It kind of makes you appreciate it that much more.
They're a
neutral race. Yeah,
peaceful race.
If I die, tell my wife hello.
But those kinds of things, you just gotta watch it and take it for what it's worth, which is awesome storytelling. Like, cool characters, little, like, flying, like, Gandalf, watching Gandalf fly one of those things was awesome.
Can I just say how great his hat looked? And the overhead scenes where he was running with the dwarves, the height comparison in his hat, I could have watched that for 2 hours and been just as happy. The fact that it was actually good makes me so ecstatic.
Like, so, one of the big things that I really liked about this movie was more time with Gandalf. Yeah. You know, more time for Gandalf to be himself and to not be so concerned about, like, the fate of the world, where he just got to kind of joke around and the meeting with Elrond, Saruman, and
Galadriel.
And Galadriel was awesome. I don't think that's in The Hobbit. No, that's in The Silmarillion, and it's
none,
like,
of those characters are in The Hobbit.
Yeah, and, like, you just...
I thought Christopher Lee was dead.
said that to me in the movie. He's like, didn't he die? I was like, what are you talking about?
He's still among the living.
Count Dooku. That was a great scene, and it allowed them to connect the trilogies a little bit.
Saruman's already, like...
Do you know, like... What did you think? Does Saruman already know? Like, is he already kind of turned? Yeah, they definitely played that up a bit.
Well, you're a fool, Gandalf.
Yeah. And Galadriel was awesome. Like, there's that one line where it's like,
smirk?
Yeah, where he says, like, you don't age. And for some reason, Cate Blanchett does not age at all. She's like the exact same.
She's in real life.
Oh, yeah.
No, not the character of Galadriel, but, like, Cate Blanchett, she's gorgeous, and she doesn't get older.
Yeah.
She looked the same in, you know, what's that movie she was in not long ago? Or, she was in The Aviator. I can't remember, like, anything before that.
She was in Benjamin Button, but
I've seen this
that.
Bob Dylan documentary she's in, where she plays, like,
I was mad at her for that.
Bob Dylan. It's crazy how
I was personally mad at Cate Blanchett.
Like, she looks like Bob Dylan. It's weird. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that right now.
I gotta see that.
It sucks.
Sucks?
Yeah, I hate that movie.
All right.
The Bob Dylan one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really
I think
bad.
It was just because I was really mad.
It was two out there.
Cate Blanchett was in every movie, and I was like, why did she get this? She doesn't deserve this. Like, I just had this personal vendetta because, like, forever she was... And she played, like, super... she played super young. She played super old. And I was like, why did she get all this? Like, leave the room for some young coming actors, that kind of thing. And now she's playing... male characters as well with Bob Dylan. I was like, nope, that's the fucking last line. That's the straw. I'm not seeing it. Yeah. So forever, I had a long
that quarrel with scene, her. Though, I have to say, yeah, I was really into it. It was a great way to just tie it back to the
trilogy. I liked
trilogy.
You could feel Gandalf holding his cards close to his chest too, which I loved. Like, I you really got to see a lot more of what he was like and how he worked, and, like, He got to open up a little bit more, whereas in Lord of the Rings, he had his priorities were somewhere else.
Yeah.
They've done, like, amazing things with just Gandalf as a character, because it's like, right away you just feel everything's going to be okay, Gandalf's here. And then at times you're like, wait, is Gandalf okay?
Well,
like,
listen, imagine, like,
just like, this all depends on Gandalf.
Listen, like, I'm thinking, you know, when I watched Star Wars, Shelby and I watched the whole saga, and she had never seen any of them, right? So, like, I know everything's going to happen. She had no idea. So in episode 4, when Obi-Wan when Obi-Wan gets killed by Darth Vader, she was shocked. And I'm like, you didn't know that? She's like, oh my god. So like, he's just dead. Like she couldn't like come to grasp it, come to peace with it. I'm thinking like when I show these movies to like Lena or Max, like they'll watch them in chronological order. And that scene where, you know, where Gandalf falls in Fellowship is going to mean that much more to her. Yeah. Like, I'm excited for those kinds of things.
You know what, though? Like, I've been rewatching them with Sarah, and they're so famous that, like, we've only seen Fellowship so far. And when he falls, she's like, isn't he in the second one and he's white, though? Just, like, she, yeah. Like the internet has, like,
yeah, that's
revealed
rough.
That to her, you know? That's and I was just like, oh, you knew that? She's like, well...
They showed it in the trailer, for the Two Towers.
He's on the fucking cover of the movie.
Yeah.
As Gandalf the White.
Well,
he was on the poster.
Yeah.
I remember before Two Towers came out, he was on the poster. It was...
I suppose you have to catch somebody at the right time in their lives before they've been, like...
Truly, the only way to have that, like, fully appreciate that would have been, like, in 1955, you bought the Two Towers book. Yeah. And you read that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I mean... if we're jumping off at this point, like one of the biggest tragedies in my life is that I knew who Darth Vader was.
That's the biggest tragedy for the
everybody
for the
knows.
Planet Earth.
Yeah, like you can't even like any time that whole thing is ruined for our generation. It was, I mean, it's hard to recapture that kind of shock.
Giant twist.
So, I was saying that to her. I was like, it's because we're watching Star Wars 2, and I was like, well, you know, that's unfortunate. And I was like, well, Lord of the Rings, though, you probably don't know a lot. She's like, well. You shall not pass, like, you know, she was just listening off. I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I've never seen the movies, but I know all that stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we had more time with Gandalf, but also, like, the main character Bilbo, like I said, was so much better than Frodo, I thought.
So much better than Bilbo in the other movies.
Yeah.
He was much better than anybody in the
yeah.
other movies. He's my favorite character. The guy is incredible. Every time he comes on, it's just... He's really, like, cheery and...
You know how we talked about how one of the best things that Marvel was able to pull off was getting Iron Man right?
Yeah.
And, like, just, I believe that's Iron Man. You know, like, whereas they tried with Hulk and it didn't work. They tried with other characters and it wasn't working, things like that. You know, there was another Marvel movie that... whatever, scratch that. But every single character in these Hobbit movies and Lord of the Rings, they get right. There's not a single character that is not exactly what they need to be, which is a testament to, you know, how well Peter Jackson's handling the material.
I'm really looking
every
forward
single character.
To Orlando Bloom in the second movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, once again, Legolas is not in the book at all. I'm curious to see how he is. In the Fellowship, like, when they first introduce him to the Fellowship in the Fellowship of the Ring,
fuck,
do they say he's a wood elf?
Legolas of the Woodland Realm?
So I'm wondering if he's a Mirkwood elf.
He must be. But who are the elves that were, that like betrayed...
The Mirkwood elves.
They were Mirkwood?
Do you mind if I reveal a minor spoil?
Yeah, I'm going to read the book.
Spoiler?
Anyway, so.
Spoiler?
I don't give a shit.
Okay, so you know how there's the Lego set Barrel Escape?
Yes.
Basically, right after they leave the Eagles, they have to pass through Mirkwood Forest, which is like this horrible place, and if you leave the path... You're gonna die. That's escape from Mirkwood spiders, whatever. So the Mirkwood elves catch them and go like, "If you tell us what you're doing, we'll let you go." And like Thorin refuses to because the elves will say, "We'll help you, but you have to give us a cut of your gold." So Bilbo puts on the ring and is able to not get arrested and helps the other dwarves escape through the barrels. And so the Mirkwood elves don't help them at all. They're not good.
You know what, though? I think Legolas is one of the characters who... They took a character from Silmarillion and replaced him with Legolas, which I'm fine with. I mean, like you said, they're separate. It's a separate piece of work, right? Like, it's not the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's the movie, and in the movie, this is how it happens. And I'm fine with that, so I'm pretty excited. I mean...
Could you imagine if they just made The Hobbit, that's it? One movie. Like, we've seen it. It's over. There's nothing to look forward to.
It would have been fine, but I'm glad I'm... Again,
I'm happy that there are three movies.
I said it when they announced the three movies. I'm happy to pay three times to see this movie as long as I mildly enjoy them. And I was like,
I was blown away.
I'm ready to buy the regular version, the extended version. I'm ready to just
everything
like,
they can give me this fucking movie.
I'm gonna go see it again this week. I'm sure.
What sucks is that
we all have to go see it together.
Yeah, we have to rebuy the saga.
We all have to go see it together, like and we can't split up the premieres like we did with this. Like, Kyle goes to see it, you go to see it, Doug and I go to see it. We have to all fucking go to see it at the same time.
The fact that Kyle is only seeing it now really makes me question his dedication. I mean, honestly, like, can you imagine right now, it's been out for 2 days, your shitty work friends have seen it, and you haven't?
You guys have a weird, like, set of...
Dude!
I want to see it immediately.
I'm counting down the days till I can see the next one.
I'll quit my
I will not let a
career.
Second pass that it is out and I haven't seen it. I contemplated flying to New Zealand to see the fucking Hobbit. If it was, like, financially possible for me, yeah, I would have done that.
So,
if we can go to New Zealand.
Getting back on track. Guys, getting
I'm
back
dedicated.
On track. I liked that, you know, Bilbo didn't have to divide his time with other hobbits. You know, he was able to... He was just more of a standalone character, which I thought was really well, with the dwarves. with the dwarves, who, you know, they said in certain reviews that you didn't get enough time to learn, like, each character and stuff like that. I disagree. The important characters were there. It was Thorin and... who was the elder one, who was very wise.
Balin,
yeah.
He's Balin.
Are you sure that was him?
Yeah, Balin. Yeah.
He was the older one?
Balin, and then Balmor's the fat one. Feely, yeah. Keely are like the young warriors.
Yeah, but Balin was the one that like retold the story of him fighting the orc.
I also like that they had a different accent, which is something that we haven't seen in the Lord of the Rings movies. Is they had more of a Scottish accent, which I thought was awesome. It was like it adds a whole other layer to like their character.
To go back
so
to that,
subtle.
Well, Balin was
Gimli's kind of like that. Gimli kind of has a.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
it's cool because Balin's the only one who's there with Thorin when the dragon attacks. Like, it shows right in the opening scene. It's like, Balin, there's an attack, and it's a young him. So it's kind of cool that throughout the trilogy, you have him as the wise dwarf.
I love that they did the intro, too. Like, the intro to the trilogy, that 9-minute kind of fellowship.
The Arkenstone?
Yeah.
Yeah. God. Oh, yeah, like, it had the backstory, just like the Lord of the Rings. Doug, before we move forward, like, I'd appreciate if we weren't talking about anything that didn't happen in the movie anymore, because I am kind of excited for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that was awesome. And the dwarves, like, when they're fighting, it's almost like they fight in a swarm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, watching them get out of situations and they're all swarming around each other and helping out. Like, I thought that was perfect. Like, watching them kind of, you know, just operate was really, really fun.
I love to see... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's cool because, like, they had their loyalty to each other. And then that kind of strengthened the whole, like, who is this hobbit thing.
Yeah.
It just made it that much better.
It's like, I would do anything for these dwarves. They came at, like, a moment's notice kind of thing.
Yeah.
I liked seeing the dwarven city.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, you see it in Lord of the Rings, but you don't see anything happening. You just see rocks and pillars and stuff like that. But you see them actually mining and, like, how beautiful the cities actually are.
So, that's not Moria, right?
That's in the Lonely Mountain, whatever that city is.
Yeah. Moria, do we see Moria in? You think we're going to at all? I mean, I asked you not to, maybe
probably Balin will.
So that's Balin's tomb, right?
Balin's tomb in Fellowship.
Okay, so Gimli is Balin's grandson.
Cousin.
No, son
my
of
cousin
Gloin.
Balin.
Gloin is Gimli, son of Gloin. Am I right?
Yes.
And Gloin is in the party of dwarves.
Gloin?
No, he's not.
I don't think so.
No, he might be.
Ori, Dori, Nori, Gloin. He's in there. Gimli, son of
Gloin. Oin, Gloin. Oin is one? No.
Ori, Dori, Nori. I think it's Oin.
I think there's an Oin.
Well, we can
Oin. Oin, Gloin.
There's 14 dwarves.
You want to check? Well, you can check IMDb and get the actor's name. One thing I wanted to touch on was the script. I think it was handled really well. The fact that they were able to, you know, there was those points where it was like, oh, we're jumping out of the story again. We're jumping out of the main story, you know, again.
Yes.
But it was handled pretty well in retrospect. Like the thing with that they ended up in Rivendell, and then they used that time to have the conversation with, you know, the round table with the other.
Gloin is in the.
Gloin
is Oin.
Yes. Which one was he? Can I see it? Oh, shit.
I just said is Gloin in The Hobbit. And it said Gloin is in The Hobbit.
You googled is Gloin in The Hobbit. Okay, nice. So,
best way to figure it out.
I think they did that really well. I mean, putting the supplemental material in, like, I wonder how they did that. The fact that they, so late in the game, split it into three movies, and they still kind of had an end, which the ending was sort of, you know, it wasn't very climactic as far as the overlining story, but I really considered it part one of a three-part movie or a three-part story. Yeah. So, like, I didn't mind that it just kind of ended. It ended like an episode of television.
It ended like Fellowship.
Yeah, and I talked about how, you know, Fellowship is my favorite of the endings. Like, it just kind of, it left you wanting more.
Yeah.
And that, like, I appreciated it. I liked it quite a bit.
I couldn't be happier.
I think it's going to be an amazing prequel trilogy.
Yeah, the only thing is, like, sorry, in the script they, you can tell very much so when, you can tell so much when it was Tolkien's, like, words, and when it's, you know, Philippa Boyens, like, like whatever,
you're right.
Like, stuff they added in, like where it's like, why is this person talking about 90s contemporary like jokes, like like they bring in weird stuff like that, which again I'm fine with. Like, I'm not
examples.
There was one I can't remember all of them, but there, if we watched it again, I would be able to be like, that there right there. You know, we should just do a Hobbit commentary track, like when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be fun. You know what I mean? Like,
can't wait for that little bit.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to own it and watch. I watched one of the production diaries. I can't believe I haven't watched those in the past. Like, they've been out for 2 years. They've been releasing production diaries.
I've been watching those.
Every, like, couple months.
Yeah.
I haven't watched them.
Yeah, I've watched them. Heard of them. They're cool.
Yeah, they're like 15 minutes each, and they're awesome. They're amazing.
So, this is my last note. You guys might have more to talk about, but I wanted to touch on the English-speaking characters, which is strange because, like, the orcs spoke English in The Lord of the Rings, but they do not speak English in The Hobbit. Other characters where you'd think they would have an accent just all of a sudden speak English, like the goblin king speaks English. And there was another character, too. Oh, the trolls, just English, you know? I don't know. I don't know if I'd prefer one or the other. Like, were they, okay, well, any character that's not human or, like, you know, that we don't know about would speak a different language. I'm sure that Tolkien would you know, in the Lord of the Rings, he wrote a lot of characters that didn't speak English. But it seems like they're all showing up now in The Hobbit. Maybe he just didn't have that precedent set, but everybody speaks English. And even Smaug speaks English. Like, he'll, there's a lot in the, in later in the story where him and Bilbo, like, discuss, you know, what, you know, what they're both after, that kind of thing. So I'm just wondering how you guys felt about that. Like, it completely took me out of the pale orc didn't speak English, am I right?
He did not.
He spoke English when he wanted to.
What did he say?
He switched back and forth. When he was talking to Thorin, he was speaking in English.
Really?
Yeah. Are you sure?
Definitely. Like, he said, give me the dwarf's head. He can speak English. It's kind of like Elvish. What I got from it.
But he spoke English at some times, and he spoke
He can orc. Speak English when he chooses to, orc is his native dialect.
Yeah. And again, the Goblin King was just a big farce for me. I know they had to do it, and they... I don't know how I would have improved on that.
It preferred him as a Skarl. I almost
would have
just
loved Skarl.
Well, more like, you know... more like a... Even, like, you can take a character like Jabba the Hutt. You know, like, you've got this giant snail.
He's kind of
ugly. Yeah, you've got this giant snail ugly thing who's not menacing at all, but you give him, like, a weird accent, and it kind of builds some, you know, some weight to the character.
It borders, though, cliche fantasy a lot. And I'm not saying they went in a better direction by doing that. I don't think so. I agree with you. Like, his voice was my least favorite part of the movie.
Just that whole part. It was the low point. Squirrel.
I expected Squirrel.
Do you guys agree that it was the low point of the movie?
His voice was. I liked what happened after, though.
And if you disagree with me, then what was the low point of the movie?
Low point of the movie? I don't know.
I would say the high point is the Gollum interact. Like, that was perfect.
Absolutely.
And
Hobbiton, at the beginning of Hobbiton, I still couldn't believe that...
You were back in Hobbiton.
Yeah, I'm 27. That was nice. And I'm here. Like, this is happening again. I my eyes were watering. Like, I had tears.
Yeah. We're super fans, and we're looking at it with a different set of eyes.
That's my review of it, too. Like, to someone who doesn't really know The Lord of the Rings or doesn't really like The Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, not really knows about it, it's
not the best movie ever.
Yeah, it's probably not the best.
It's enjoyable.
Movie, and that's what, like, we can talk about the reviews when we're done kind of wrapping this up. But yeah, like, well, I mean, maybe it is the right time to talk about it. There's critical backlash. It's not getting reviewed very high, and I think that's because it like I said, it works almost more like a TV show, where it's just, if you're watching it as a standalone movie, the Lord of the Rings trilogy does not exist. It's a completely different viewing experience, right? Like, you've got to take it as part of this whole.
Do you guys agree with me, though, in that
I think it should be reviewed.
If Lord of the Rings didn't exist, like, those movies had never came out, and The Fellowship had come out in 2012 right now as this movie,
well, wait,
it would have got the exact same reviews. That's how
I
feel.
Hold on, wait a minute. What are you saying?
If The Hobbit was
I'm
first.
Saying if, like, if The Hobbit... like,
if Lord of the Rings didn't exist...
No, I'm saying if Lord of the Rings never came out, and, like, just, like, An Unexpected Journey and Fellowship share the same faults. And I feel like Lord of the Rings is celebrated as such a trilogy, critically, and The Hobbit will be too. I just feel like everything's so strict, and there's so much comparing it to the Lord of the Rings trilogy as a whole, not just The Fellowship as one movie, that's why it's getting negative reviews.
No, I disagree. Fellowship was great as a standalone movie. It was great as, like, the part one of the trilogy. And obviously, it's just my own opinion. The Hobbit, you know, Unexpected Journey.
The Hobbit plays off the Fellowship.
Yeah, it didn't have the same attributes. Like, it didn't have the same qualities that Fellowship had. Fellowship was the introduction, and it was treated as such. It was, like, very, you know, it took its time to introduce the characters and you know, they tell you all about the elves and the past and all that stuff. You know, The Hobbit just kind of... it's just... you know, it never really tells you what you're after. You know, you just kind of have to anticipate because you know, like, what happens. They do mention the dragon, which is nice. But it's much more like season one. You know, like, it...
I really disagree. Like, the Fellowship... It kind of, like... there's Fellowship, so many parts where you're just like, is the movie over?
Yeah, but Fellowship has a beginning, middle, and end. I don't feel like Unexpected Journey has that.
Yeah, it does.
You're forgetting all the faults of the Fellowship when you're comparing it to this, and that's what I feel like everyone's doing.
Oganungungala.
Yeah, well, and like, just the whole, like, why is it, like, people had complained, not me personally, but that it took them so long to get out of the Shire. Well, just the whole...
and, like, sorry, are we talking about Unexpected Journey now?
Yeah. I'm saying, like, that was some of the complaints I had heard.
Shelby actually said that, and I couldn't disagree more.
I disagree, too. And if anything, it took them so much longer in the Fellowship to get out of the Shire.
You're probably...
and they had to...
yeah, but you're probably remembering the extended. Like, when's the last time you watched the theatrical version?
I think the Shire...
I watched the extended a week ago.
Yeah, the extended is, like, double the amount of Shire.
I know. I'm just saying...
double the Shire!
Hey, that's my opinion.
The Shire is the best thing in movie history.
It's graphical power that really stands.
Dude, the Shire is the best thing in movie history, in my opinion. They could spend an entire fucking trilogy in the Shire of just, like, this movie's about growing plants. It'd be my favorite movie ever made.
That's silly. Yeah.
I don't know. I just like being silly now. I think there's a lot of similarities in them, and, like, 5 years from now, when they're all out, The Hobbit is An Unexpected Journey is going to be celebrated a lot more than it is now.
As part of a trilogy, I think it'll do better as part one, which is what I said that earlier. But, like, it was missing that seriousness. I mean, like, the Fellowship and the Lord of the Rings, they were much... It was more of a serious story where they're not just, like, jumping you around, like, oh, now you're in this goblin cave. Oh, let's see how our company gets out of this one. You know, like, I feel like it's a completely different feeling. And as I mentioned earlier, I feel like The Hobbit is a step in a better direction. But maybe I'm thinking that only because I've got the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know...
and you're used to it?
Yeah. I mean, it's... I'm glad that I finally have a place where I can relax within that saga. But if the Lord of the Rings trilogy had not existed and Unexpected Journey played the same way, I would... It would be kind of messy. As in the fact that it's all
this
over
is what
the place.
I'm saying, though, like,
and I would look forward to the next two movies like, oh, they're kind of just like... you know, for lack of a better term, Mickey Mouse, with like the enemies who aren't threatening at all, that kind of thing. Like, I like it so much because it's part of the saga, I don't know if I would have the same... I might have a similar interpretation of it that as the critics do if I wasn't a big fan of the other ones. And I know that their job is to treat every movie as a standalone, yeah. But you can't do that. That was not the intention when they started making this movie.
My point is, imagine Fellowship was one movie and that's where it ended. It ended at that movie. That movie would not be celebrated as much as it is, and therefore the An Unexpected Journey wouldn't have as many negative reviews in the shadow of that movie.
But I get
that's
what you're
all
saying.
The point I'm trying to make.
I get what you're saying, and you know maybe.
And I think once this trilogy is complete, this movie will be celebrated much more than it is currently.
But that's not how movies are reviewed. I mean, I'm sure.
No, that's Fellowship not how movies got, are reviewed. I'm just saying Fellowship that's my future prediction. For
Fellowship
this movie.
Got great reviews when it came out.
That was a long time ago, though. Movies are reviewed much differently now. And okay. This movie is being reviewed in the shadow of a trilogy.
And can I say that there's a lot more like factors in place than just the movie itself? If people went to go see it in 2D, 3D, 3D,
exactly.
With
yeah,
high
the 48 frames.
That's, yeah, I don't even. You're right, man. Like I don't even think about that. I'm just assuming the way I saw it is the way everyone else saw it.
Yeah, and
you know, I wonder if we saw it in 48 frames, like if we'd have a different.
I'm
opinion.
So fucking happy we didn't see it in 48
yeah,
frames. Like
I think you're right.
I would have hated it. Like driving to the theater, I was talking to Mandy. Like I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm actually very scared about this. It's going to look like shit.
I think it was like Forbes magazine or something like that. They just said like, if you see it in 48 frames, the technical issues are going to outweigh the actual... They're going to outweigh the actual movie.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to be encapsulated, which is something I was afraid of too, but it wasn't in 48 frames, so I'm happy that it wasn't.
Thought we were seeing it in 48
Silver City
frames.
Scammed us, and thank Either, you, but I want my money back or a new ticket. Just out of principle. But the 3D, I just want to talk about like the 3D in that movie.
Yeah.
There was one part that was that looked just incredible to me. The when Bilbo's trying to get away from Smeagol. Skollum?
Skollum.
when he's trying to squeeze through that crack.
Yeah.
And you see, like, there's a rock here, and, like...
His buttons?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you see the depth of it. He's trying to squeeze through, Gollum runs by, and then, like, he's like, oh, and then you see that view, like the actual 3D of the rocks, and then Gollum walks back. It's like, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, the overall reviews on Metacritic were pretty low, but...
Yeah, it got a 58.
Yeah, I think that's all BS. I mean... As a standalone movie, it has its flaws, but I definitely recommend it. I think that, you know, they were definitely poking at it because, you know, they had this opportunity to try and talk about how smart they are, that kind of shit. Like, it was fine. I mean, it doesn't fit the same structure as a regular Hollywood movie, but as the first part of a whole story, I think it's great. I had a lot of fun with it, and I definitely recommend it to anybody who, you know... I'm sure anybody who is listening to this has already seen it, but I highly recommend it. Like I said, I liked
it. Listening to it right now.
Yeah, I liked it. Oh yeah, I guess I liked it more than it wasn't as drag. You know, it was just a lighthearted,
it was really
adventure.
Happy,
yeah,
funny.
I liked it. I can't wait to see it again. I can't wait to see the sequel. I think it's great. Final thoughts.
I think you summarized it. I mean,
yeah,
I disagree with a lot of the critics. I thought it was a great movie. Most importantly, I was just very happy to see all those characters together again and meet some new friends.
Yeah.
I forget where it was before, but yeah. I didn't, like going into the movie, I was preparing for the worst.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to be that great because I read the initial reviews and I was heartbroken. Like I thought, oh, they split the production from two movies to three movies. They're just trying to make money. They released something that was subpar.
Yeah.
But after having seen the movie, I'm glad that I couldn't be more wrong in my initial thoughts. Like it was awesome. I enjoyed it from start to finish. I was encapsulated the entire time. I loved being back in Middle Earth, like seeing everything. Go see it.
Definitely.
Please go see it.
So, you know, if you haven't watched it already, or if you have watched it already, we'd love to know your thoughts. you know, tell us where you disagree or, you know, where you agree. And we'll talk about it further. I mean, we like to hear what you guys have on your mind. So feel free. You can email us at podcast@allrange1.com. You can post on our Facebook. So that's our Hobbit review.
What episode is this? What number? 15?
This would be 15, but I think it's a standalone. You know, we when there's big events, big movies, I mean, like the Star Wars thing, we usually give it its own episode. Next week is going to be a pretty big episode. We got a Secret Santa. We're going to reveal some, you know, we're going to introduce our gifts to each other. You guys can listen on to our Christmas episode, probably have some wine, some eggnog, those kinds of things. And we're going to do, what do you guys want to do, year in review or top five or...
top five anything or something? Top five
whatever. Top five anything. I like that, yeah. You know, like the pizza I had last week was my number five, the McDouble.
I had a great fucking poutine.
Actually,
week.
My number five might be the McDouble. Were we eating McDoubles in 2011?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, thanks for listening. This is our Hobbit review. All Range Mode out.
Go see it.
All Range Mode!